Getting random texts from wrong numbers has become a norm in today's society. And while most of these interactions are ended quickly by saying, wrong number, mine was different as I found a friend in the random stranger who texted me. It was great at first, but by the end of the whole ordeal, I was left with nothing but a chilling tale to tell for the rest of my life. My name is Daisy Moore, and I was 14 years old when this incident happened. I had just entered the hell that was high school, and I sure wasn't ready for it. My dad, Mr. Moore, who was an amazing father, was also the janitor at my high school, and that didn't sit well with people as they stigmatized me for it. The first few weeks were brutal. I was alone, I had no friends to talk to, and to top it all off, I didn't even have a phone as my dad had a lot of bills to worry about. After the first month, I was sure I was going to lose it and drop out. But by the end of the week, something really special happened. I was walking out of class when my dad walked up to me and said, "Hey Daisy, look what I got from the lost and found." He then proceeded to show me an iPhone. Before I could say anything, he continued with, "I know I can't really afford to buy you one, and you've been wanting one for a while now, so I decided to give it to you, as it has been sitting in the lost and found for over a year now." I remember tearing up a bit, as it was a really huge deal for me. Due to the fact that I didn't grow up in a rich home, I learned to appreciate every single thing that was given to me. And even though I knew he didn't buy it, it was the thought that counted. I then hugged my dad and thanked him for the gift. After that, I made my way home with a huge smile on my face as I held my very first iPhone in my hand. That night, before I went to bed, I had gotten a text from an unknown number. I found it really odd as I literally had no friends who would text me, so I knew that the person probably texted me by accident. I opened the text to see a message that read, "Hi, I'm Nathan." I then responded with, "I'm sorry, I think you have the wrong number." My text was then quickly replied with, "Nope, I'm sure it's the right number because I know every single digit like it's my own number." I was a bit perplexed by his response, and before I could say anything, the stranger called Nathan immediately changed the topic by saying, "So, tell me about yourself." From there, one thing led to another, and before I knew it, we hit it off as we began to talk all through the night. A few months had passed since the night I met Nathan, and I found myself always talking to him every single time I had a chance to. I'd gotten to know him pretty well as I found out that he was just a year older than me, and that he too was also struggling to make it through high school. The latter gave us a lot of common ground to talk about. We also had a lot of similar interests and hobbies, which made talking to him always worthwhile. And while I thoroughly enjoyed our conversations, I had noticed that there were a few odd things about Nathan. For starters, I knew we lived in the same town, so when Nathan would say things like, "It's fucking cold out here," in the middle of the summer, when I was sure the sun was scorching people outside, I'd always become a bit confused. In addition to that, I also noticed that whenever I asked Nathan to send me a picture of himself, he always looked terribly pale in the pictures he sent, and he was constantly sitting in a school bus every single picture. While I knew that all these weird occurrences weren't normal, I didn't say anything about it, as he was basically the only friend that I had to talk to. I also didn't care about it, as I just assumed that he was going through a weird phase like every other kid in high school. At the time, I said to myself that nothing was going to make me stop talking to him, as I knew that even if we hadn't met in real life, he was the first true friend I had gotten in a long while. But by the next Monday morning, I began to second-guess that decision as a horrific realization had dawned on me. That Monday morning, the school had gathered all the students in the hall to watch a tribute video. Once everyone had settled down, the school began to play a video in memorial of the 15 students who died in a terrible accident last winter when they were going for an excursion on the school bus. They began to explain how the bus swerved off the road and crashed into the mildly frozen lake. The ice gave way under the weight of the bus, and both the driver and all the children died in the freezing water as the bus sunk deeper. Now, I already knew all about the incident, as it was a tragedy that shook our entire little town. But I wasn't prepared for what happened next as they began to show the pictures of the dead children. Everything was fine till the end of the slideshow, as the last picture read, "In honor of the principal's son, Nathan Walker, who also tragically died in the accident. I stopped dead as I saw them display the picture of the exact same person I had been talking to for the past 6 months. Chills went up my spine as I was temporarily paralyzed with fear. Our school principal, Mr. Walker, then took to the stage to give a touching speech. He spoke for a while, but he finally ended the speech with, "I tried to call him that morning, but apparently he had lost his phone. There's nothing in this world that I wouldn't give to hear his voice one last time." I left the hall after that, feeling shook. My dad had noticed, so he asked me if I was okay. I told him I was fine and I was just having a bad day. When I got home that day, I began to frantically text Nathan, asking him all manner of questions. But instead of receiving his usually quick replies, nothing but silence answered me. It took me a few weeks to realize that he had completely ghosted me as he stopped replying to any of my texts. Going through the aftermath of the incident alone was driving me insane, so I tried to tell my dad. But the concerned look on his face when I told him that I had been talking to the principal's dead son for about 6 months made me reconsider my decision, as I immediately passed it off as a joke. I still tried to tell other people when I got the chance, but no one believed me. No one except the school principal, Mr. Walker. I really don't know why I decided to talk to him about it, but I was really scrambling for solutions, and I realized that no one else would understand except his father. After telling him everything that happened, Mr. Walker got up, hugged me, and cried. He then told me that he believed me, as he knew without a doubt that the iPhone I held in my hand belonged to his very own son, Nathan Walker. I'm 24 years old now, and I can still remember every single detail of this incident that happened over 10 years ago. While it was a very creepy experience, I managed to be at peace with it and see the whole ordeal in a lighter tone. And apart from being a really frightening incident, it did give me a lot of bragging rights, as nowadays, I always tell people I once had an iPhone that could talk to the dead.
Hey guys, I see many of you commenting on my videos that this channel deserves 1 million subscribers. But I also see the percent of people who watch my videos aren't actually subscribed to the channel. So, if you like the content, want to support my channel, and want to see this channel reach 1 million subscribers, or maybe 500,000 subscribers, then go ahead, subscribe, and hit the bell icon. It's free, and you can always change your mind later.
The only reason I am sharing this horrifying incident is to warn everyone. I just pray to God none of you ever make the same mistake as me, because it can ruin you forever. I recently moved into a studio apartment in New York. My family lives here, so things got pretty easy for me. I work in this multinational company as a telecaller. My job is easy and pays well to help me go on with my life. Being the only child, I always get everything I asked for. Apart from my many interests, buying gadgets is one of my big fascinations. I love iPhones and have been using them for a long time now. But I have another bad habit, which is the main reason why I am in this grave situation in the first place. I am a very whimsical person, and I tend to forget my stuff wherever I go. Like, I just lose things without getting drunk. Many times, I got them back, and many times, I didn't. This particular story is about the one time when I lost my iPhone, and my life turned into a living hell. It was a Saturday night, and I had plans to go to a nightclub with my friends. One can call me a party animal. My best friend Jennifer never leaves me alone after I get drunk in a nightclub. But that night, evil was waiting for me eagerly. As we entered the club, the red and blue neon lights were rushing everywhere. People were dancing like crazy with the loud music played by the DJ. I immediately tried some tequila shots and jumped onto the dance floor. My friends were dancing with me, and we were having a great time. After a moment of drunken feet, I decided to go sit at the bar and have some water to calm down a bit. But I didn't want to vomit like last time. As I sat at the bar and ordered some water, I noticed a man in his late 30s sitting at some distance and smiling in a very odd way. I took out my phone and clicked some selfies to post them on Facebook later. I was trying hard not to look at the man, but his rich appearance mixed with an odd smile made it difficult. In that club, he was the only one wearing a suit like he was coming right from a board meeting. I have been here for a long time, and I knew these kind of men very well. They like spending money on girls who are willing to sleep with them. A shrewd idea came to mind. I thought, what harm will come if I smile at him a bit? Maybe he will pay for my drinks and we will flirt a bit and that will be it. So, without giving this terrible idea much thought, I smiled back at him. As soon as he saw that, he got up and came to me. Sitting right next to me, he said, I have been noticing you for a long time now. You truly are beautiful. I couldn't help but laugh at his silly old pickup line. What is your name? You can call me Steve. Well, Steve, what do you do for a living? I own a company. What is your name? I wasn't willing to share much because I was pretty sure he was lying about his name. So I said, my name is Lily, and I am studying at NYU. Honestly, I am a petite, average-height woman, so that lie wasn't unbelievable. He smiled again and said, can I buy you a drink, Lily? Of course. He bought me not one, but a couple of drinks, and I went on with the casual flirting without thinking what danger it could bring. He was talking about how rich he is and all that he thought would be impressive to a young, naive college girl. While listening to him, my phone popped up with a notification, and I saw Jennifer texting me. Stop using this poor man for free drinks, she texted. I couldn't help but laugh, and Steve said, is that your boyfriend texting you? The question surfaced so unexpectedly that I couldn't say anything for a few seconds. I stared at him and replied, that's none of your business? Come on, don't waste your time behind such jobless college boys. I can give you so much more, okay? Let's finish these drinks, then I will take you to my penthouse. You'll love the view from my balcony. Excuse me, what makes you think I will go to your penthouse? What? This is why you smiled back at me, right? I'm sorry, but I'm not getting you. You're so naive. I got your hint way back, girl. We should spend the night together. I was stunned to see his audacity, and I realized what damage I have done just to get some free drinks. I got up and said, look, I am sorry. I was just casually flirting. It didn't mean anything, and I would like to pay you back for your drinks. I was just drunk, and I didn't think things through. He grabbed my hand and said in a creepy tone, just say yes now, and I won't have to spike your drink. What the hell? I couldn't keep up with this creep anymore, and out of fear and anger, I slapped him right away, and my friends came rushing to the bar. They escorted me out of the club, and Steve sat there quietly. He didn't scream, didn't react, just stared at me without blinking until I was out of his sight. I got into the car, and Jennifer took me home. We were halfway there when I realized I had forgotten my phone at the nightclub. I remembered keeping it on the bar, and amidst all the brawls with Steve, I forgot to take it. We again drove to the nightclub, searched the entire bar, but my phone was gone, and so was Steve. It didn't take time to understand that he had stolen my iPhone. I wanted to go to the cops and file a report for my phone being stolen, but I stepped back, because this time, I was responsible for all this uncalled trouble. I knew the cops will judge me for flirting with a man just to get some free drinks. I knew they will tell me that none of this would have happened if I didn't cross my limit that night. What scared me even more was that all my pictures were on my phone. As stupidity, I didn't have any kind of passkey on the phone. I am single and live alone, hence never felt the need for it. I kept an eye on my social media accounts for the next few days, but nothing showed up, so I slowly stopped stressing about it. I had given up completely when Jennifer told me to use the Find My Phone app to retrieve the location of my iPhone. Her idea didn't seem bad, so one night, after coming home from work, I laid on my bed and started searching for my phone in that app. I decided to log into the Find My Phone app, and I noticed my old iPhone still listed as a device. It said searching next to it, and I figured it would just time out. But part of me was curious to see the results anyway. As I clicked on the searching, the radar started to circle out, trying to locate where it is. I wasn't expecting what happened next. As the searching stopped and the dot revealed the location of my old phone, the ground was swept from under my feet. It was showing my neighborhood, close to my house. I freaked out and sprung on my bed when suddenly, I got an email from an unknown ID. As I opened it, my stomach dropped in fear. There was a JPEG attached to the email. The image was of me, standing with my phone, wearing the same nightgown that I am wearing now. Suddenly, a shattering sound of glass took place in my kitchen and the house went completely dark. I did not doubt that it was Steve, and he has traced my location without any difficulty. I quickly hid in the closet and dialed 911. Slow but loud footsteps started to come close to my room. I couldn't make a sound, so I texted the dispatcher that there's an intruder in my house and I need help. Peeking from the blinds, I saw a pair of boots standing right in front of the closet. I was praying to God to get me out of this situation when the boots went to the left side. I kept staring from the blind, trying to see if he is still in my room, when Steve opened the closet door in one go and laughed like a demon from hell. You can't hide from me. Come on, we have some unfinished business, Lily, or should I say, Kathy, you lying bitch! Saying this, he grabbed me by my hair and pulled me out of the closet as I screamed in pain. He pulled my hair so vigorously that a chunk came off, tearing a red patch of skin from my skull. He then smelled that bunch of hair like crazy and said, "Wow, you do smell nice. Let's go to the bed and have some fun." I kicked and screamed while he forcefully tried to pick me up to drag me to the bed. As he leaned on me, I scratched his face with my long fingernails and poked his eye so severely that blood came out, making him injured. He backed out in pain, and that gave me a chance to fight back. I got up and ran to the kitchen, while Steve screamed at me, cursing me in obscene language. I opened the door and saw my neighbors rushing to my house. They heard my scream and came to the rescue. I collapsed on the porch, saying, "There's an intruder in my bedroom." My neighbor kept a strict eye on Steve, raising his baseball bat until the cops arrived. The cops retrieved my old phone from his pocket and gave it back to me. When the cops were taking him away, he looked at me for one last time and said, "You know it was your fault. You had it coming, Catherine. You are a filthy woman with no character. I know I am at fault, but is it right to think that if a girl is willing to drink with you, she is ready to sleep with you as well?" I accidentally broke my iPhone in college. My hand slipped while I was trying to record a video of the professor's lecture. It fell on the hard classroom floor and shattered beyond repair. Now, the smart thing to do would have been to buy a Samsung or anything other than another iPhone. But I'd already bought a bunch of overpriced Apple products that wouldn't work with anything else, and I didn't want to waste all the dollars I spent on them. I ended up trying to buy an iPhone of the same model as my old one online. It was a pretty old model, so most of my options were used. I didn't mind, though. I just needed it to be in relatively good condition so that I could use it for coursework. I found one iPhone listed on sale with such a price tag so cheap that the seller might as well have just thrown it in the trash. I felt a bit suspicious about it at first, but I'd used that website plenty of times and never had a problem before. Plus, it was so cheap, it wouldn't have been much of a loss if I did get cheated anyways. I placed the order for my new used iPhone via my laptop and waited just one day for it to be shipped over to my apartment. It was late in the afternoon when it arrived at my doorstep. The Apple stores were nearing closing time by the time the iPhone arrived, and I didn't really feel like going out that day anyways, so I decided to wait until the next day to get the iPhone wiped at the store. Upon closer inspection, I was surprised with how good of a condition the iPhone I bought was in. I thought for sure that the pictures online were photoshopped to make it look nicer than it really was, but the thing looked almost brand new, save for a few scratches here and there. There were custom engravings on the back of the iPhone too. "To my one and only Sarah. Hugs and kisses." I realized that probably meant the phone was at one point a gift from a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Suddenly, the cheap price tag started to make sense. For such an expensive gift to be sold online for such a low price probably meant that Sarah and her significant other had a nasty breakup that she wanted to forget as soon as possible. Without nothing better to do that night, I decided to snoop around the iPhone's content a bit before everything would be deleted. I was curious to see what kind of person this Sarah person was, too. I opened the gallery and found hundreds of selfies of a young woman with blonde hair and brown eyes. Most of them was of her posing next to a coffee, lounging around in her house, or striking a pose in front of a store or in the middle of a park. Pretty basic upper-middle-class white girl stuff, to be honest. A lot of her photos in the beginning also featured her with a good-looking guy who she seemed far too comfortable with to be just a friend. One picture had them both smiling in front of a tree at a park with a heart carved into it. I assumed that the guy was her boyfriend, and as I suspected, pictures featuring him became more and more sparse as time went on. The later pictures that did feature him had him standing a lot further from her than in the earlier ones. It was a scummy thing to do, looking back, but I went to check on some of her chat logs too, out of curiosity. The last message she sent to anybody was to someone named Ben with the text of, "Go fuck yourself, you cheating bastard." So, I got the gist of what happened and closed the phone for the night. The next day, I went to the closest Apple store and got the iPhone reset to factory condition. I almost forgot all about Sarah and her cheating boyfriend until I tried to take a picture of my study notes for future reference. When I went to the gallery to see my pictures, one of Sarah's photos was still there. It was the one of her with her presumably now ex-boyfriend standing in front of a tree at a park. But something had changed about it. The boyfriend was still smiling, but Sarah had a sorrowful frown on her face when I distinctly remembered her smiling in the picture before. However, I assumed that I just remembered the photo wrong and that the picture was only there because of a bug. I deleted the photo of Sarah and her ex before going to bed. The next day during class, I checked my iPhone gallery to look at the notes I took the previous night. I found the photo of Sarah and her ex back in the iPhone gallery, but it changed even more. Now, in addition to Sarah frowning, she was also crying tears of blood while her boyfriend's face was blurred out. I stared at it in confusion for what felt like a full minute before the professor called me out. "Miss Sanderson."
Yes, sir.
Do pay attention in class and put away your phone, won't you?
Of course, sir. Sorry, sir.
I put away my phone like he instructed, but I couldn't bring myself to pay attention to anything he was saying afterwards. That picture lingered in my mind, eating at me for the entire duration of class. After class was over, I deleted the photo again and went straight back home to take a cold shower. It was raining heavily by the time I went to bed. The image of Sarah crying blood lingered in my mind as I struggled to sleep through the rain and thunder. I woke up the next morning feeling like I hadn't slept at all. I reluctantly checked the iPhone gallery to see if the picture had come back. Sure enough, it was there. This time, the skies behind the couple had turned a shade of dark red. The tree behind them bled from the heart carved into it. And Sarah had a long slit across her throat from which rivers of blood trickled down to stain her white blouse. Enough was enough. I was ready to throw the iPhone away, but before I could remove the SIM card, the sound of Siri's voice stopped me.
"You are 3.3 kilometers away from your destination."
I looked at the screen and saw that the GPS had somehow activated itself. I exited the GPS, but the moment I did, it just came back up again. The location marked on the map was a nearby public park that was only a few minutes away from where I lived. My common sense wrestled with my curiosity as I thought about going to the GPS location. In the end, my curiosity won out. The location was in a public park, and it was Saturday morning too, so I thought that I'd be safe no matter what. And if I was lucky, I might finally get to the bottom of what was going on with my iPhone. I drove to the park within a few minutes and followed the path the GPS gave me on foot. At the end of it, I found myself at the very same tree in the photo that kept appearing in the iPhone gallery. The heart carved into it was still visible, with some sort of red liquid trickling out from the edges. I looked down at the foot of the tree and saw a strange indentation in the soil. The previous night's rain had turned the dirt to mud, and it was slowly sliding off something buried underneath the tree. I crouched down to wipe the mud off whatever was under there and immediately regretted it. Hidden under the thin layer of mud was the face of a desiccated corpse that stared straight back at me. I called the police and they came to investigate the body. The case was all over the news in my hometown, and I followed it closely in the following days. Unsurprisingly, the body was identified to be that of Sarah, and the killer was discovered to be her ex-boyfriend, who slit her throat while she slept shortly after she broke up with him. According to the investigation, he used a copy of her house key that she'd given him while they were dating to break in and cut her throat open with a knife from the kitchen. I still have the iPhone with me, but the photo of Sarah and her boyfriend disappeared after I called the police to the park. I can only hope that means Sarah's spirit is at peace now, wherever she may be.